BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here, we're live, and we're talking WWE 2K22 in the back half of the show, and I'm super excited.
You should be super excited. It's a super exciting game.
You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/70Rive to interact with us throughout the evening, because we got stuff to get into, things to review, and so much more.
We do. We got news. We are going to talk a little bit about NXT. We're not going to do a full rundown this week, because there's really only one, like, really big thing we need to talk about from that, and then we are just dedicating the whole back half of the show to WWE 2K22, because honestly, it deserves it.
Because it, in fact, hits different.
It does hit different. It does, really, really does hit different. But with that, I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
All right, where do you want to start?
So AEW had a really big week.
Yeah.
They spent money. Tony spent some money this week. So the following individuals have signed with AEW: William Regal, quality pickup; Jeff Hardy, quality pickup; Paige Van Zandt. I'm not as familiar with her, but she should be a quality pickup. They have all signed with AEW.
She's from UFC.
Okay.
She's the MMA fighter who has an OnlyFans.
Ah, okay. And then Miro has signed a contract extension, and Matt Hardy has signed a contract extension to match his brother's contract length.
Miro signed a four-year contract extension, and I guess Matt and Jeff have the same contract now, so...
So they can leave together.
They can stay together. They can stay and leave together, and they're going to go on a Hardy Boys run, because it's Team Extreme back together again in 2022, because... nostalgia crazy. Runs wild in all Elite Wrestling. But it was cool to see William Regal. Talked about it on Tuesday on Not So Live. How he came out and was part of the Bryan and Mox segment. And apparently he went long on last night. His promo went a little bit long. He got a free open mic and was able to talk and kind of killed some time for others later in the show. But hey, it happens when he doesn't do long promos and had a lot to get off his chest and was very emotional. So William Regal is going to be a big pickup for him, for them. We'll see what Paige Van Zandt can do in the ring. Hopefully they get a way to get Miro back on TV. And again, the Hardy Boys run is about to kick off into another broken universe. I don't know. It's weird that he came out to the Hardy Boys music, but then it's like, oh right, it's a generic song that you can buy off any library, of a library. WWE never owned it, so it's weird, but it works.
I will say this: I know I don't really have a right to criticize AEW because I don't necessarily watch it. But I would hope that Tony maybe chills on the signings for a while.
That's enough. Like, they brought in Swerve, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. He made his debut on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
They signed months ago Tony Nese, and we haven't seen him night or day of him. They finally had him show up. He's going to be Swerve's first opponent. It's like, you signed Tony Nese, like, months ago and haven't done a thing with him. You haven't done anything. So it's like, him and guys like Jay Lethal and stuff like that, it's like, what did you sign them for? Oh, wait, now you have another company, so...
Yeah, I'm assuming some people will go over to ROH, but yeah, Tony's brought in a lot of people recently, and I kind of hope that they just sort of chill out on signing people and bringing people in, and just use what they have, because their roster's really, really loaded, and from what I hear and what I see, it doesn't seem like a lot of them are getting used, so it's, why are you signing more people if the ones you have aren't even making TV? Like, that's great that they're making Dark and that's on YouTube, but the goal should be to build people for TV. And have people for TV, and if you bring them in for like a feud and then you never use them again, then that's kind of a waste for everybody involved. So I mean, I don't want to criticize Tony for something that I don't watch, but at the same time, it's just he signs a lot of people and he brings a lot of people in, and it seems like there's a surprise like every other week, and I'm kind of concerned that eventually the surprise is going to wear off. Mm-hmm. And people aren't going to be as into the surprises as what they were. So, because they're just not special. If there's one every week, it's not special. It's just there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe for the time being, they chill out on the signings and just, you know.
We'll see.
Go with God.
We'll say ratings did not pop a million this week, so you know, but they were number one. But in the demo for Wednesday, but not over a million. So
we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Speaking of re-signings, Josh Alexander has re-signed with Impact, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, and he had some visa issues after his contract went out, so he went back to Canada. Now they were able to get everything clear, and he's re-signed with the company.
And Christy Hemme has returned to Impact. She's working backstage with branding and production, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, Gail mentioned it in some interview that Christy's back. I'm like, all right. Cool. Good for her. Glad to see her still involved in the business. She had a couple kids, right?
She had a couple kids, but she was working... I think she was working backstage at Impact when it kind of all floundered the first time. And then she's sort of just been... I'm not sure what she's been doing since, but I mean, if she's back, that's good for them. Because she really built her career.
She's had 5 kids.
God. That's in Impact.
That's where she's been. She had quadruplets. That's where she... What happened?
Oh, God. That had to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a few years. Offense to her or anything, but God, that had to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. So anyway, continue.
So congratulations to her.
Mm-hmm. Good to see her back because she was always good with the girls and stuff and getting things out there, promoting stuff. So branding will help for them.
Yeah, that'll definitely help. And moving on to WWE really quickly, Vader has been announced for the WWE Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him and his family.
That was cool. I always liked Vader.
Stone Cold has accepted Kevin Owens' challenge in a rather epic video.
It's such an epic video, and if there was any doubt of what is going to be at WrestleMania, I think the video settled it for what it's actually going to be. You can call it a show, a KO show, a match, or a fight, whatever you want. But he's coming to open up a can of whoop-ass on Kevin Owens, the final can of whoop-ass, supposedly. Yeah, anytime they say, they're saying, oh, it's been 19 years, we've seen Stone Cold since then. Everyone's seen him since then. It's like 19 years he hasn't had an actual fight, a real fight. This is going to be a fight, whether there's a pinfall or submission at the end. Who knows? But Stone Cold's coming to whoop Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
Here's the thing. Stone Cold was retired. He wasn't happy about it. Like, he was forcibly retired, essentially. He wasn't happy about it, and he left. And he left in a huff. And he and WWE kind of fell out, and they were out of terms for years. They're fighting. So that should be exciting for WrestleMania.
Yeah, they're having an actual match-ish. Match-ish. Where Stone Cold will probably drink beer at the end.
He'll come out, he'll throw hands, he'll do the stunner, he'll do the head wiggle, he'll do all the things. He will do all the Austin things that we expect, and in the end, Kevin will take the stunner. Or maybe Kevin will stun Austin.
I think Kevin stuns Austin at least once. And then he thinks he gets him down and comes back up with another one.
Because it's Austin.
It's Austin.
So, should be exciting for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Moving on, Xavier Woods and Sasha Banks have been nominated for Kids' Choice Awards.
Female sports star for the Moss. Male creator for Woods. It's like weird. Like, he's a male creator, she's a sports star. Okay.
Well, she is a sports star.
No, I mean him, but like, I figured he could be male sports star, but I guess he fits in the gaming realm.
He's probably better known in the gaming realm because he does more in the gaming realm for that demographic, even though, you know, he could be a male sports star. I'm not sure why he's not nominated, but it's fine, right?
I guess I would assume it's more football players that are major, like, prime sports in the sports category.
Probably, yeah.
One would assume. But you can cast your vote now at nick.com/kids-choice-awards, because I'm looking it up now. Can you just tell, I would like to see the other, I don't want to go through, where's this sports, the male sports star? Come on. Come on. Do you not have the there? So many goddamn categories for Kids' Choice Awards. Continue on, I'll find it.
So, moving on, WWE Evil is set to debut on March 24th for Peacock. The executive producer is John Cena, and it goes into what it's like being a heel in WWE. The trailer's out if you want to take a look at it. It's really, really, really neat and cool. I think it has a lot of interesting perspectives there.
Yeah, it's going to be, it seems really cool, and it was teased a while ago that Cena was producing a show for them. It's like, oh, and now we kind of know, and it's like, this is like a full-on documentary type thing. It's like, oh, this actually seems really cool. It's going to be a fun time had by all.
Should be a fun time. I'm curious to check it out, just to see what it's all about.
Yeah.
And last,
and I think it's March 24th, right?
Yeah, March 24th.
No, it's make me vote for every category. I know none of these people.
Okay, well, it's not important. Anyway, moving on, WWE 2K22 DLC has been announced.
The WWE 2K22 DLC has, in fact, been announced. There are 5 packs coming out over the next few months. April 26th will be the Banzai pack featuring Yokozuna, Umaga, Rikishi, Omos, and Casey Catanzaro. Most Wanted on May 17th will feature Cactus Jack, the Boogeyman, upcoming Hall of Famer Vader, Ilya Dragunov, and Indy Hartwell. The Stand Back Pack will feature Hurricane Helms, Stacy Keebler, A Kid, and MSK, Clowning Around, Doink the Clown, Ronda Rousey, the Bulldog, Mr. T, Dewdrop, and Rick Boogs. The Whole Damn Pack will feature RVD, Logan Paul, Machine Gun Kelly, LA Knight, Xia Li, Commander Aziz, and someone that did not have in the press release but is in it, Sarray.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So that's all coming. The last pack available on July 19th, so they're giving you content for the next few months, which is good. Some people argue, why can't we have it now? But it's the way it is, I guess, is the best way to put it. It's they want to keep the game the game moving, I guess, is the best way to put it. Keep fresh content out there as much as they can. So that's where we're at with it.
Well, in other games where they have to stay competitive and there aren't weekly updates to 2K22, to have continued DLCs that you can get makes complete sense.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like you said, it'll keep people interested.
And hopefully if people get tired of the game and bring them back to the game when the new content is available. So that's a good thing at the end of the day. You want people to come back and come back and keep coming back to the game, keep picking it back up, even if it's just for new added characters to the game.
So, Blade Prince?
Let's do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So So, Brent, you kind of did this one to yourself. Just going to say it. Becky Lynch, fractured voice box.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That's what you get for being a jerk in my chat.
Which is twitch.tv/lensward.
And Chelsea Green, an injured wrist.
Broken wrist.
Broken wrist. I'm sorry. Broken
Hashtag
wrist.
Blame Brent.
Okay, so Xavier Woods is up against Ryan's World on YouTube, Mr. B, Spencer X, Unspeakable, and Ninja.
Oh, shit.
For male creator. Like, people get out, people get out and vote for Woods. But Mr. Beast and Ninja and Ryan's World are kind of hard to beat. Sasha's up against Serena Williams, Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka, Candace Parker, and Chloe Kim.
Ooh, that's tough competition.
Yeah. Voting for Sasha, but it's gonna be a tough one. Also, poor Chelsea Green broke her wrist again. That sucks. She can't stay healthy.
Please take the time to heal yourself properly. Like, I don't want to criticize her for what she did, but she came back early the last time. And
because she came out right after she got released and was going in, and her doctor was telling her no, and she still went forth. But, you know, the itch is always there to wrestle, I guess. Because that's what slowed her WWE career right down, is because her SmackDown debut, she got hurt.
Yeah, and she kept getting hurt after that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's like with being held down, or held out for injury, not held down, held out. It's, you want to get back out there and start wrestling as soon as possible. Well, you know, she did exactly that.
And yeah, she's hurt, continues to get hurt over and over again. Sucks, but nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. So with that, let's talk really quickly about NXT.
Yeah, one quick note from NXT, and it's a major note. They crowned a new NXT champion last night on NXT Roadblock. It was a triple threat between Bron Breakker, Dolph Ziggler, and Tommaso Ciampa. And wouldn't you know, there's a new champion in town. His name is it's not Tommaso, it's actually Dolph Ziggler.
I know there's a plan, but what?
Hopefully there's a plan. I think this is the whole champion got too cocky and the veteran took advantage deal. And he'll win the title back at Stand and Deliver, so a big pop moment. But then again, it's like, maybe they're putting it on Ziggler because someone else is on their way up to the main roster. Vince got to see him on Monday firsthand, so it's like, maybe he's like, I want this guy on Raw next week. And who knows?
That's entirely possible. We all knew that Braun was going to be fast-tracked to the main roster, so we didn't expect him down in NXT long. It's just from what he's shown, it's like, yeah, with him. So I'm not surprised, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, what? And they also can't just put it on, you know, Tommaso, because Tommaso's probably on his way to the main roster, too. So.
And then there's Dom, who's on the main roster, was working this show, and was like, what do you do? Who do you put it on? There's no good show. Anyway, it'll all be settled at Stand and Deliver, one way or another, who's going where and what's going to actually happen.
So we shall see. We definitely shall see. With that, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds like a good plan to me.
All right, so when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WWE 2K22 because, y'all, we have opinions and we want to share them. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
There is no one better at covering AIDS. Then CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sir Rockin, the intern and lone jobber as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live available after every AEW pay-per-view. At wildtalkradio.com and cbradiolive.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are going to jump right into our review of WWE 2K22. And I'm going to let you lead because I've already talked about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, did you know WWE 2K22 is now available? Yeah, it's now available and it hits different. Just getting the plug right out of the way. So thanks to our friends over at WWE 2K22, WWE Games. They provide us with early access to WWE 2K22 over the weekend, and we got our hands on the game, and we're able to dive deep into it.
And we weren't paid. I just want that out there.
No.
We're not paid.
No. Our endorsement is not paid, but we just have to tell you, they gave us the game.
Yes, and they did give us the game.
We appreciate that they gave us the game, gave us access to the game. They've been nice to us for many years, the folks over at 2K Games.
And we are very, very grateful to them for giving us the game. And if they would like to pay us, I would be okay with that too. But I will humbly accept review copies if they should like to give us more.
You good now?
I feel good. I got accused of doing paid reviews! I don't like it! I don't like YouTube comments. I'm bitter. Anyway.
I need a moment.
I mean, I could rant about it. I really could.
Yeah, rant about it for a minute, then we'll do the review.
I got like it. Like, I spent like eight... I did. I spent like 8 hours putting that video together. And like, one of the first comments is paid review. I'm like, what the hell? Because it's positive? Like, y'all, just because something's positive doesn't mean it's paid. This game is good. This game is really good. They did a fantastic job with it. And clearly everybody agrees because it has an 8 out of 10 score on IGN. So, you know, sorry. Like, I don't mean it. To everybody that was nice, I like you. But to everybody who is mean, go touch grass. I don't know why I'm throwing this around. I probably should be throwing this around. But anyway, are you done collecting yourself?
Yes. Okay, so we're here to review WWE 2K22 again. Thanks to our friends over at WWE 2K for providing us access to the game a little bit early ahead of time and allowing us to review the game for them. We appreciate their support and hope to continue working with them as we go forward. So,
yes, thank you, 2K.
So with that, let's talk about WWE 2K22. First off the bat, visually, this game is stunning. The graphics are such a great improvement from where they were. The faces actually look realistic for the most part. There are some guys you could see that were on the lower scale that did not get as much effort put into it. But you see all the big name talents from The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Edge, Seth Rollins. You name it, to even Fandango, they all look fantastic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did it right when they built the graphics for this game. And like you said, not everybody looks, you know, top tier, but it all looks good.
They all really look good. The hair is improving. That's one thing I can say. Hair is improving. The movement is there for the hair.
There's an attention to detail on hair that I like, where they have, like, for Edge, when he comes out, they have the individual strands of hair, and that's really, really nice. But, because it's still chunky, but it's the physics on the longer hair is a lot better than what it has been. There's a lot more detail in the hair than there has been in the past. You know, it has, like, actual texture, and it looks like hair from far away, which is really nice, because in the past, it hasn't always looked like that. They've tried, but hair has always been a challenge in this game, and I understand, because hair is hard, right? Like, it's just difficult to animate. So, I appreciate the attention to detail and the effort that has gone into the hair for this game. I will criticize them on the creator wrestler hair. I feel like it's the older stuff that maybe didn't get updated, and so it doesn't look as good.
It looks very shiny. The creator wrestler hair looks a lot shinier than the normal hair in the game, but there are ways to round it to make it work. But yeah, I agree that it's a lot of the hair from previous generations of the game that are still there, but that's fine. A lot of it works.
A lot of it completely works, and that's fine. It's just, I would rather the superstars look good and look right than, you know, the creator wrestler stuff.
Yeah. So one of the things I noticed with the faces, so in a lot of games you just see, if they, with the facial scan technology, you see their faces, but they're like, all kind of have like the same model to it, you know what I mean? In some manner.
Mm-hmm.
I could be completely wrong, but these guys and gals, their faces feel more shaped. Like, they're all different shaped models compared to, here's just one base model. They did a lot of face morphing and a lot of face shaping on the models of the characters. And they look more realistic, because you can see, like, on a lot of them, it's like, that really looks like Brock, that looks like Edge, and et cetera, et cetera. It has a good standout to them and a good presence to them. And the girls' faces look a lot better, too.
The girls' faces look a lot better. I think part of that is the scanning technology that they use, because I'm sure they, I think they do a full body, which includes the head, to get the shape and characteristics of their whole body.
Yeah.
They probably went back, and I'm sure they have, like, different face models that will fit the heads, but then they probably did sculpt them around the models just a little bit, because they feel like they have more depth, like, they actually look more 3D than they have in the past.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'll give them big props on that. Also, championship belts in this game look like real championships now.
Like, I like how the light hits the diamonds, and I like the metal texture and the look and the whole thing. Like, everything just looks very, very nice.
It's a nice high-end presentation for the belts, because belts looked okay in past games, but you look at some of the models holding the belts now, they look like real, they fit the scale. Is the best way to put it. They all fit the scale. And that's a big improvement from where they were. So I like that. One thing we both noticed right off the bat, the UI presentation to start the game, so much better.
Oh my gosh. So much simpler, so much easier to use. It's organized better. It's not as clunky. Like,
no.
I think that was the one thing that I really didn't like about 2K20 was it was a little clunky. This one is much cleaner. It's much simpler. And for somebody who doesn't play the franchise nearly as much as, say, like Rock, it's nice that it's easy to navigate.
It is very easy to navigate. It's very user-friendly. That's the one thing you can say about it. It's very user-friendly. There's no blinding white screen that we had in the past.
Yeah, I like the screens that they've used. I like the color choices. It doesn't hurt your eyes as much. Like, it's a little hard to see in certain lights because it's a lighter background, but it's not that bad.
No, it's a nice visual presentation, which I'm here for, and it separates each thing into its own category. It's like, right off the bat, it's like, here are the modes we have. We have the play mode, where you go to your exhibitions, here's your universe mode, here's your My Rise, here's your GM mode. It's all right there in the front. Like, you don't have to go searching for it through anything. It's like, right there. Then you have all your other options and menus going forward. I like that. Very well done. The soundtrack. Great choice of music. MGK, nice choice to put all the list together. He picked out some good songs.
He's not my favorite person, I will admit, but he picks some good songs, because I said it, I think, on Saturday. Or no, I'm sorry, on Tuesday. Because I don't know what day it is anymore. I was sitting there and I was messing around in the game and I was recording stuff for the review. And, like, all of a sudden I hear The Weeknd and I was like,
wait a minute.
Wait a minute, is that who I think that is? Because, like, I wasn't sure, because it opens with a nice song, and then it kind of rolls through the soundtrack, and I hadn't looked through the soundtrack list yet, and or anything like that, and so I was, like, just sitting there listening to the music, and I was vibing to the music, I was like, this is really nice. Like, I think it was difficult in the past when it was all, like, screaming death metal, or it was all rap, or like it was all...
It doesn't hurt your ears sitting there listening to the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's just, like, you can sit there, and it's vibe, you can vibe to it, it's nice to listen to, there's a lot of diversity in the mix, so you just can chill. Like, you can just play the video game and chill. It's not great if you're a Twitch streamer or you're a YouTube streamer, because it's all licensed music, so of course you can't play it on stream. So that makes things slightly difficult. But
they thought ahead.
They put in a creator mode, so that way you can turn the licensed music off, which is nice.
Which is great. I was like, oh, so it turns off all the, basically, all the wrestler music and the artist music. But it's a nice little touch. It's like, oh, you want to stream our game and not worry about it, especially on YouTube, where they'll
DMCA you so fast.
DMCA you so fast on any interest theme. Just turn it off. Here's a button. You don't have to worry about changing your settings at all, because it's like, it's a pain in the ass to change your music vibes around if you're going to go stream the game, or if you're just going to play the game. It's like, here's just one button, and all your settings stay the same, and boom, one button, music goes off, and you can do whatever you want with it, and if you want to have fun creating stuff with it, it's a nice addition. And a lot of games are doing that now, so it's like, I was legit sitting here, we were preparing to stream the game on Tuesday, I was sitting here going, all right, I gotta lower this music, and I'm going to the audio volume, and I'm like, oh, there's a content creator mode for the music? Perfect. Like, that was perfect. It was like reading my mind before I even thought about it. So that's some of the general, like, UI stuff. It's a nice idea. So about the game itself, they added a whole new control system. I like the addition of combos. It makes it feel a little bit more arcadey than it did in the past, because a lot of the game would be you punch, kick, and you could just spam it and whatever. And you could still punch, kick, spam in this game, but your punch, kick combos lead to actual maneuvers. So if you're just into picking up a controller and just smashing buttons, you can have success in this game. You don't need to remember, okay, it's X and up to hit this move, or down and A to hit this move. If you do XXAA, you get to a combination of moves and then a big move, which is cool. That said, trying to break the habit of pin has taken me a little bit of time, because in my brain, from playing the series for so long, hitting B to pin. The first few games I was doing is like, why isn't my guy pinning the other person? Why is the pin not working? Oh, it's right stick now. Oh, that would explain it. I know it's saying it on the screen, but instinct goes, hey, I hit this big move and then go to pin, because there's like some combination moves where you can, like, some moves roll into a pin. So it was like, I'm hitting the button. Why aren't you right? Oh, it's that. Oh, so it's trying to break old habits. But that's okay. Breaking old habits is a good thing, because you're learning something new. And I like that.
And one way one great way to learn something new is the tutorial with Coach Gulak, and he's with you throughout the game with little suggestions and tips. I really like the full follow through. I love he got a PowerPoint presentation. That made me so happy. Like, I sat here and cackled for 10 minutes at the PowerPoint presentation, because it's like, he finally got it. After years and years and years with the gimmick, it finally paid off, and it made me so happy. Like, he was the perfect choice.
He was. And and you see him pop up throughout the game, like, with little notifications and stuff like that, especially in MyRise, where he's trying to, where you're starting to learn things. He pops up and shows you, okay, this is him. He's the tutorial guy throughout the game. It's like, oh, this is a great use of his persona and character. He has that wit about him that makes it work.
Yeah, like it's perfect.
It's just a tutorial, right? It's just learning the game, the basic steps. We recommend you playing it because, like I said, use combos and stuff like that. It's a new control system a little bit. It allows you to, like, oh, hey, here we are. We're learning it.
Yeah, it's a good way to learn the system. It's a good way to get a feel for the game. And it's just entertaining. It's just really, really entertaining to watch, like, the whole setup of it. Yeah. It's just really nice.
It is. I like the new button mash system for kicking out. My thoughts on that could change them when you move up difficulty and going to the really hard level and you're really trying to kick out. I may change my mind, but the good thing like that is you can go back to the old timing system as well. So they left that in there as well. I like that. gives you options. Because some people are not fast at, you know, pounding on the controller and trying to kick out. But if you're good at timing, then there's a system for you. But I like that. I do like the system, the submission bar for, instead of the circles, now a straight bar. It's like you kind of get a better idea of where you're leaning and the combinations you're going. I like it in a bar format than a circle. It's probably the same mechanic, but visually, you understand it better in a bar. You can see your thing moving better in the bar format. So learning the controls takes some time, but it's... You can't, best way to put it, it's going to take you a little bit of time to break habits if you're a person who's played this game for a long time. If you're new to the game or someone who casually plays the game, it'll be quicker because you're not used to the old setup. And it was like in the previous game too, you had to break some old habits. But again, if this is going to be the format going forward, I like the combos and I like how things are evolving in terms of the movesets and how you get to do some things and in them that you haven't done before. I swear, I have not used like the grapple and move a wrestler button to like the ropes or corner more than I have in this game in a few days than I did like in the whole previous couple games. The one negative about the controls, someone in 2K needs to fix the Irish whip to the corner. Like, the diagonal sending to the corners does not work as well, which is why I have to do a little bit more of a pull and grab system. And if that's the way it has to be this time around, that's fine. But it's like, I was having issues where I'm trying to send someone diagonally into a corner, especially in the showcase mode, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, where I had to kick off an objective. And it's like, well, they're not going directly there. Instead, even though I'm hitting it diagonally, it's going left or right or up or down. It's not going where you're sending them. So you have to do a little bit more grab and drag, which is fine. It takes a while to get used to, but it works. I do like how much it's simpler to do springboard maneuvers. Because you have to hit a button, you hit like, for Xbox, I think it's LB, and then you're able to combo with whatever X or A or B and do the maneuver. I like that. It's a lot easier, and it's better timing, I guess that's the best way to put it. The timing's better than trying to, like, run or pull back on something and hopefully it works. The timing is better with the combination rather than the hope it works. And there's a better chance, especially with the way these animations are working, for it to hit. By the way, smooth animations. For
very
moves.
Smooth.
Like, there are some combinations of moves that I've seen in this game that I haven't seen before in any of the 2K franchise or even before that. Like, you got some nice combos in this game in terms of animated moves. Like, Rey Mysterio does a move where he does, like, a monkey flip type, like, setup and then into a Huracana DDT type thing. It's all run smooth. I like all the new animations for moves. Like, I've been playing a lot of the MyRise, and some of the default moveset is, like, hard striking knees and stuff. Ooh, they just look so vicious. Like, they really look, boom, perfect.
Yeah, they have impact to them.
There's, like, that's a good way to describe them, impact. They're more impactful. What I have noticed by playing, and this is just a visual thing in my head, they have one there. There's a new camera set up for the ring. For the whole entire presentation, in that matter. but the ring feels itself feels smaller. And that could just be a mind thing because the cameras are zoomed in now and the ring might be the same size, but to me the ring feels just a tiny bit smaller because you feel closer to the action. And that may just be because they zoomed in. But I like the new zoomed in feel. It has a more television-esque feel to it. Especially in multi-man matches where the camera goes elevated over things.
Yeah.
Instead of like staying baseline on the hard camera, the camera rises a little bit and adjusts left or right wherever the action is. It's not straight center.
It follows.
Yeah.
Which makes things a lot easier when you're doing matches and because it's zoomed and it follows. I just like the feel of it better because I think that was always kind of the one difficulty with the game in the past is like it was sort of like an actual hard camera and it would kind of follow you, but it would kind of wouldn't and it was more zoomed out so you really couldn't see like what you were doing.
Yeah.
Which made it tricky.
It made it tricky. And there are times where you still can't see in multi-man matches because of how the animations are set where there's like a few moves that get zoomed in on and you have to see the move fully. So you're not sure where it is. But for 2 seconds, you're fine. You're probably mostly still in your own animation on the other side. So it doesn't affect anything that's actually happening in the ring. But yeah, new camera setup works. I like the presentation of it. So those are good things about the game. And there's a lot of good in this game. There really is. And it has something for everybody. You have your typical exhibition matches, which has every match WWE currently presents on a normal basis. I know some people are like, why don't we have other match types? Let me ask you all this question. When was the last time WWE innovated a brand new match type that they do often?
It's been a minute.
Like, WWE doesn't present first blood matches, so why would their video game that represents their product have it? WWE has gone away since The Undertaker has since retired full-time from his full-time schedule, stopped doing casket matches. So if your game is supposed to feature what WWE presents on television, they're not going to throw in a casket match.
Part of it too could be too the animation. Part of it could be that it's something they've done in the past, and I think people would like to do like legacy type things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like some of it may have broken the game, some of it may not have worked properly or functioned properly, and it could come later. Like the things that the game is kind of wanting for right now in terms of like just content are things that can be fixed with DLC.
With DLC and in future episodes of the game, there's room to grow. This is the new baseline of attack for this franchise where they've reset the bar. Here's what we have to offer. The fact that we get 8-man matches, which was never a thing for the longest time, is great. 6-man situations work better now too. So that all works. I played a Royal Rumble game. The Royal Rumble ran smooth. So I like that. I've not tried the Chamber. I have done the Hell in a Cell. The Hell in a Cell walls are a little tricky to maneuver around, but that's... you have to get used to where it is. I wish, this is my one wish, and maybe it's in this game, but I highly doubt it. But I wish for future games as we advance in the process with it, and especially with the new generation consoles out there, they'll allow you to expand and do different things with environments. Let me have the door. It's been years. Give me the door to Hell in a Cell.
No.
Like, let me go, let me be able to break the door and go in and out instead of trying to break a cage wall. Let's do the physics on the door so we can go out the door and come back in the door. That would be a great mechanic. That's all. That's all I gotta say about that. One of the modes that are in this game is the showcase mode, which is featuring the cover star of the game, Rey Mysterio. One, I like that it has its own set of unlockables and that you can use those in every mode that you play in. That's fantastic. Two, Rey Mysterio did an excellent job of providing commentary for each match, setting it all up. Here's the history behind it. Here's why this match is happening, what it meant to him. And throughout the match, he would give commentary on the match itself throughout when the transition from in-ring play to video, which was smooth, by the way. It was seamless. Like, the load time was non-existent. It just went right to it. You hit the set-off for it. Boom. Went right to it. Rey starts talking, explains the situation. Talking in certain situations, talk about how one point back in this previous match, he hit me with this move, so I knew it was coming. So he tells the whole entire story of the moment. You get moments with Eddie Guerrero, Ed Batista, Shawn Michaels, Samoa Joe, Kane. It's all good stuff in between.
And I like that they did that. Like, I really respect that they did that with him and they sat him down and they got that history, because I think it's been lacking in the past. Like, you can put together a video package, but to get, like, his thoughts and his feelings on that match in that moment was really nice to see.
Yeah, it was him. Usually you get commentary from them talking about it, but it felt more like him telling a story. This was him telling the story of his career. So whoever produced it and hoped to help put it together, it felt natural. It felt like a natural progression of, here's what happened throughout the career, we got stuff from WCW, and so on and so forth, and how it all mattered. So I liked that. Also, a good change from previous version. In previous versions of, like, the showcase mode or whatever it was called in the past, they would have the current day commentators try to replicate the commentary in those matches and in those situations, and it always felt off. Because in your head, it's like, Renee Young wasn't calling this match, or Byron Saxton wasn't calling this match, or Michael Cole wasn't calling this moment. It was Jim Ross or Jerry Lawler was calling a moment, and you're hearing the lines being repeated, but it wasn't them. So here, just having plain dramatic music playing, I thought that was a brilliant idea, because it allowed you to stay in the moment. Everything felt more dramatic, and it's not, the commentary is not there trying to reenact something and basically trying to call moves, especially when you're still trying to figure it out and you're not doing everything in the checklist properly or in the right order sometimes, and they're talking about the action. The dramatic music lets you have the actual physical match, get your checklist moves done. By the way, I love the checklist. It helps you tell you what to do. Sometimes you need it, especially when you're trying to figure out the combinations for the first time. Yeah, I like it. Like, here, you got to do this type of maneuver. How do I do it? Hit the pause button. There it is right there on the screen. Tells you exactly what to do. Top notch. But it kept you in the match without having the commentary sort of like distract you a little bit. I like that. So to me, the showcase mode, I give a 9 out of 10. Could be better, but it was really good. I like that. I know people, there's a couple modes I did not get into. One was the universe. Because to me, from what I've heard and what I've read and everything you hear about universe mode, it's the same mode from the past. Which there's nothing wrong with it. It's, you run a WWE year. Like, it's, you fight, you do your things, and what have you. The one change that is I'm looking forward to trying out is they set up a mode where you can focus in on one person. You want to run a talent through an entire WWE year. You pick that talent. You're strictly focusing on them. You don't have to worry about setting up matches for the rest of the card or going through all the 17 different matches that you would have per show. It's, hey, I want to focus on Sasha Banks for an entire year. You can do that. I like that change. I'm looking forward to trying that change. But by the time we had to do this review, I didn't have time to dive deep into that. There's also My Faction, which is the card pack mode. I've never been a huge card pack person, so being able to do that, if that's your cup of tea and you like spending virtual currency and buying virtual currency and buying packs and opening packs, that's on you. It's not my cup of tea. But again, this game has something for everybody.
It's also, I think, not as like fight oriented or fight heavy is what some of the other stuff is. Yeah. In the game.
Yeah.
It's much more relaxed. So if you're not as good with the fighting engine, so if you're someone like me and you're not good with basically playing the game, because here's my one criticism of the new fighting system. I feel like I had a little trouble, and maybe it could be because, one, I'm on an old console, two, I'm streaming the console to my PC, is I had some issues with the response time on the fighting engine. Mm-hmm. And so it made things a little bit tricky. So I would have to wonder if the fighting engine is a little bit better on PC, but I don't know. Like, I did have some issues, like when I was doing the tutorial where I was hitting the combos, but the game wasn't registering the combo that I was doing.
That may be a system thing.
So, and like I said, I am on an older system, so that's entirely possible. I don't fault the game for it at all. It was fine, but it's like you're sitting there and you're like, So that took a little bit out of it for me, but it wasn't like horrible.
So that's the faction mode, that's the universe mode covered. All right, let's talk about the creation suite. Talked about a little bit with the hair stuff. The hair, as Lindsay mentioned, it's different. It's different. Is the best way to describe it. But that's okay. That is one of the improvements I have written down for the game. Hair modeling for credit wrestlers needs to improve. But there are ways to get around it. So when you first go into it and you're looking at it and it's like, here's the hair. It's like, wow. It looks painted on at times. because there's a lot of shine to it. If you lower the shine, you see more of the characteristics to the hair, and it helps make it feel more natural. That's one thing I've learned about it. The one issue I had with it, which was confusing, was setting the height and weight for your wrestler. I understand what they're going for, and it's based on how the new engine's working with them, where they want you to match your height and the size and the weight. They want it to balance, so you don't have a 7'4", 150-pounder wrestling. They want it all to be balanced. I wish there was a better system of setting it. Like, I know you can, there's a bar that you raise up and down, but I wish you can separate it going, okay, I want to be 6'4 and 2 something, not 6'4 and 3 something. Like, I wish the bars were separated so you have a better, more realistic idea. I know it's separated between light heavyweight, cruiserweight, heavyweight, and super heavyweight. But if it was separated, it would give you a better idea of where you're at instead of it being on one bar. If that makes sense. Number two, and this was one of the first things I noticed when going into Creations Week, because I went into Creator Entrance. Y'all are clever on some of the names you gave them. Y'all are very clever. A couple of them made Lindsay sad, but that's personal reasons. But
I got to relive it one more time.
Very clever on one of the entrances being called Fiendish. Very clever.
Oh, there were some they didn't even try. Like, they're just like, and I respect that, because you got to rename all these entrances, because I can just picture them, like, getting these emails as they're trying to build this game, and it's like, well, you got to change this one, and you got to change this one, and it's like, god damn it. It's like, every week at one point, it was like, there's one more change that they have to make, and I'm sure by the end, they're like, I don't care, just name it something else. And so they just literally picked something, like, the most obvious thing ever, and they're like, boom, named, done.
Yeah, so it's everything from Fiendish to Firefly Cultists to just straight up Bludgeon Brothers to using song lyrics, which for like, what I noticed was Maria's Here She Comes Again. It's like, yep, there, that's Maria, that's her song. Yeah, everyone knows that song. But I do like that they added a lot of more generic type entrances into Creative Entrance a little bit, so they all don't, you're not all coming out to being Hulk Hogan's entrance, which is great. The presets for creating wrestler are interesting. Like, they give you a nice base set of looks to balance off of. I don't know how many people are going to use the base sets one of them, but it gives it for height and weight and sort of like that. It kind of sets your base. I'm going to stick to creating my own, but it's a nice set. Okay, you have a nice preset of options with it. Then
I think it's for people that just, like, they, like I said in my review, that they just want to go in and they want to set it up and they just want to go.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to sit there and screw with it and get in the weeds with it, because part of what's not fun about the creation suite is finding the adjustment area.
Yeah.
For the body and the face and the hair and everything like that. It's very, very difficult to find, at least it was for me, because it's buried under attire, which I can understand some of that, but I really feel like, at least for the hair and the face portion, that needs to be up with the head. Like, when you're doing the eyes and, like, all of that stuff that has to do with the person's head, all of that should be right there together, because it's buried under attire. You can't find it. You don't know where it is. So it's like, I was trying to build my dude for my rise, and I was like, where is the hair? What did they do with it? Because I'm trying to, like, actually set him up, and it's like, I can't find it. Because in my brain, logically, it's like, the hair should be with the head when you're setting the face and everything. That should be where it is. It doesn't have to be under that menu, but it's like, you have, like, face, hair, because they had, like, the blemishes and stuff in that same area, but it's like, hair is in a completely different area.
I understand why it's there, so you can have multiple hair choices for your creator wrestler. I get that, but and that's why it's attire, but I understand it's, like, weird, like, it's buried and it should be in the base, but I understand at the same time, I understand that why they want it where it was. It's weird predicament, you know what I mean?
It's a weird predicament, but it's just, at the same time, it's like,
All right, so that's Creator Wrestler. Creator Wrestler is pretty standard, pretty straightforward. You got your face morphing, you got your all your outfits. Though, when creating a wrestler, I kind of noticed, like, when you go to generic, it's like, some of them aren't actually generic. Some of them are just white outfits for AJ Styles and Triple H's boots. And there's a few other, like, WWE-esque things in there, and maybe they were just miscategorized and stuff like that as generic, but it's like, oh, here's some nice cool looking tights from one side, and the other side, oh, it's AJ Styles, oh, that was his tights, oh, those are Triple H's boots, why is Triple H's, oh, okay, got it, okay, cool, we just move on and find something else, unless you want to wear Triple H's boots, which is fine. Creator belt is pretty much the same as before. And nothing wrong with that. I like Create a Belt. Create Arena, that needs some love. Because my one, I like Create Arena. I really do like creating arenas in the game. The one thing I wish, I think I said this about 2K20, I'll say it again here. If an arena is in the game, I would like to be able to use it in Create Arena. I would like to be able to use those assets in Create Arena. Because there's the NWO Sold Out Arena. I was like, they have some nice assets. I would like to be able to use them. Oh, they're not available. Darn. I wish you could be able to use that. Like the new big Raw set, I wish you'd be able to make your own version of it, but that's not available. So it's like little things like that I wish that they were available in Create Arena, and they're not. That said, they added a couple new arenas to the game, including the big giant new stadium that they used for WrestleMania 37. So I like that there's an extra option for a large stadium in the game. So you're not using the same one that was in the past from WrestleMania 29. So it's like they've finally given you a new stadium option. It's like, okay, cool. We got something to work through here. I like that. I really do. So that's what I've touched so far in the creation suite. So far, I have no complaints. I know that the one complaint from everyone is the lack of advanced entrances. I get it. I understand why people are upset that you can't make advanced entrances. I'm disappointed that you can't. However, the reason for it, from what we've been told, is the advanced creation engines had to be removed because it was causing a lot of issues with the franchise, which is why WWE 2K20 suffered. It was causing a lot of issues, so they had to remove it. It's disappointing, it's upsetting, but then I thought about it. If we're going to get a better game without it, I'm okay with it. It's a good step in the right direction. Does not mean they're not working on it and trying to put it back in for the next game. They probably tried hard to get it into this game, and everything, it just wasn't working out right, because they were trying to make sure it worked, and if it didn't work, it didn't work. So instead of putting something in that doesn't, they're going to leave it out. I am fine with that. I also thought about it. After the first couple of times, you're not really, at least for me, I'm not watching the entrances again. I'm going to skip through it afterwards because I want to get back into the action. It's like, you only can watch your own custom entrance a couple times before it's like, all right, cool, I saw it. Let me fight.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it wasn't a big deal. No, it's not a ram hog. It was causing crashing. So they had to remove it. It's causing a lot of bugs in the game. So they removed it. This is my complaint again for a while now. Give me generic stuff. Give me generic entrance motions. Give me generic entrance like videos. Please just give me colors. Give me random colors. Give me red and blue and green and orange and all, just so we have orange smoke and orange videos and whatever. Just give me generic colors, because they gave them to you for videos for Create Arena, right? But for Create Entrance, they're not there. It's like, oh, these would be so cool. Like, they're just generic colors and you can just use them for your video walls. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm creating my roster, I don't want to come out to the AJ Styles video wall. If you give me a generic color, that will go a long way before we get to the point in time where hopefully at one point in time we'll have the ability to create our own entrance video walls where you can put logos and stuff on it and actually have a full detailed entrance, and hopefully that comes in the next couple generations of the game, because that would be really cool if we got that. But give me some like generic videos. That would be cool, you know? Even if you take the wrestlers' names off some of the screens, it would be helpful, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
Also, since we're talking about creation stuff and whatnot, I have one character complaint.
Mm.
Paul Heyman needs a new suit. Been the same suit since the days we're seeing Punk. Need a new suit. Give him a new tie, something. Still the same purple tie. Say it every year. Give the man a new suit. It's been since WrestleMania 29. He's had the same suit. Give the man a new suit. He owns many. Okay, so that's creation. Let's talk about My Rise. One, the fact they give you a male and female storyline is great.
Thank you. Thank you for putting women in the game. We appreciate it.
She speaks on behalf of all women.
God help us all if that's the case.
Two, this is something we figured out before the show, before the setting of this review. We figured out who a couple of voice actors are.
I mean, I know they're not exclusive to just one game. Like, they all kind of work and get around and that kind of thing. But the fact that some of the Genshin Impact voice actors are in WWE 2K just, like, blows my mind. Because it's like, wait. Because one of them tweeted out, like, the talent credit. And I just saw one name, which is Ratana. And Ratana is the English voice actress for Yay Miko in Genshin Impact. And then I saw another name, which is Brittany Cox, and she's the English voice actress for Fischl in Genshin Impact. And I was like, holy crap. And then I started Googling all the names, and it's like Bill Butts, who's the guy that tweeted out the credits, is also in Genshin. So it's just a fun little like crossover where it's like, hey, my worlds have collided.
You know, where you didn't ever expect them to.
But that's okay. It's fine.
It's great. It's a nice little nugget. Anyway, back to my rise. I like that you're able to dictate the direction of your character in the game. You can go heal and you can go face. Whatever you decide to do, you can do based on your actions and choices in the game. Because they give you social media elements where you have a fully active Twitter, where wrestlers tweet at you and DM you, and they cause different side missions and situations for you. And whatever you choose and however you react will certainly, like, change the way your character goes. If you lean more of a your responses to some of the prompts with some of the trainers and stuff, how you interact with them. If you say something nice to them, they'll be nice to you, and that means you lean more to the face side. But if you're going to be rude to Shawn Michaels, then you're going heel. If you're rude to Road Dogg, you're going heel. And then it takes you down a different path. Even though you're always going to end up in the same road, there are many different paths to get to that road. In previous career modes, it's all been the same path. You would have side missions, but they wouldn't change the course of your road. Here, it will direct you on the same path, but different. The main goal in any wrestling game is to get to the main roster, but how you get there and the choices you make and the people you get involved with, well, it all depends how you go through your My Rise situation. Like, currently, in My Rise, I've just joined NXT. I've had to battle Cameron Grimes based on comment he made about a back and forth on Twitter about hats. And it's like, and then you unlock different, your ratings go up. Oh, hey, you earn this amount of fans for being this wrestler, and you get more points for doing this. And there's certain, like, things you have to hit. I like it. I like those sort of, like, side missions. It's like, I'm not just following the straight story, going cutscene to cutscene to cutscene. You're interacting, which I like. And there's a lot of legs to it, too, by the way. There's a lot of time to it. And I believe, I don't know this for sure, I think at some point you can change characters in the story mode. I'm not there yet. I don't know if you can or you can't, but maybe you can. If not, I'm looking forward to going through it as a female character. I'm looking forward to going as a heel. Like, there's a lot of avenues you can go down and choices you can make where it allows My Rise to be repeated,
mm-hmm.
which I like. Because if you go through, like, the story mode, it's like, here's the story, you're done. Here's 20-something hours of original content they give you, and you're done. But because you can go back and be a heel or be a face or be the female and take it in a different direction, go back and do different side missions that you refuse to do or react a certain way and get into different situations, it's like being able to repeat things and play things over again keeps you involved in the game. It's not like one and done. Replayability is the phrase I'm thinking in my head is crucial with this game. And My Rise has it.
You can go back and you can experience different things, which is nice, because especially when it's like a choose your own adventure, it's, oh, well, what would have happened if I did this? And in the past, you haven't been able to sort of go back and do that. And now you can, and you can do it with the men and the women,
which is perfect. So that's the My Rise. I'm looking forward to it. I have a bunch of stuff coming up for it. We made some live streams with it, etc. But it's for a different day and a different time. Then there's my GMO. The mode that everyone on the internet has been wanting to return for the longest time. I like GMO. At the base, at the core of it, it's a great mode to build off of. So where it is right now, it's very limited in terms of learning the mode. In terms of things you can do in the mode, you only get a certain type of match types. Only 2 championships and X amount of matches. I understand frustrations with it where you want to be able to do more. I get it. But at the same time, it's a nice base. One, things you've never had before in the GM mode were addition of cards, boost cards, where you can sign a free agent for cheaper. You can give recovery to your superstar, send them on a spa day. You can use a card to hold out a wrestler from the opposing brand show. Like, those added elements is a nice addition to a GM mode where there's where it adds different elements to, instead of just here, we're just booking straight three matches and a couple of promo segments. It's here are things that help affect your show, help you gain money, and you earn fans. It's all there. I like that element to it. Also, one thing I've learned, you can't just go, hey, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, 5-star match. No, that's not how that works. I learned that the hard way the first week I went. I drafted Roman, I drafted Brock, I thought, they're going to carry my show, right? It was a 1.5-star match. What? You learn by playing that you need to build the feud. And as you build the feud, and they grow in popularity, you can, your star ratings go higher, and then you can build to your 3 stars, your 4 stars, your 5-star matches, and you earn more fans that way. And you gotta be worried if you're doing the same thing over and over again, this feud gets stale and et cetera, so you gotta mix up promos and everything like that to continue and build, lengthen the feud. But it's like, I thought, oh, hey, you got X and Y, those should be the two most popular people, they'll do well. No. And you gotta worry about, you can't do babyface all the time because the crowd won't react as well to it. You can't do heel versus heel. You also have to make sure it's like their styles match up. If their styles clashes, you're not gonna get the best matchup. I do like Hunter's little check-ins and tell you, hey, you got to do this week, this thing this week. And then you, if you do whatever he suggests, you get a reward. If you do something, the talent says, hey, I would like a match with so-and-so in the next couple of weeks, and you don't give it to them, they get mad, they throw a fit, and they want to leave your show. It's like, you got to keep the talent happy when they ask you for things. I have lost a couple of talent because I didn't do what they wanted in the right time, but that's okay.
Sometimes, you learn.
You learn that strategy in my GM mode plays a big factor. But I like that. Those type of games keep you coming back, learning the strategy. You can choose in my GM mode from 4 or 5 different GMs to start with, and you can build your own, which is cool. So I'm looking forward to building my character and making the character and being able to put them in GM mode and let it, and see what kind of advantage or different disadvantage you can get with it. Because you get Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, William Regal, Sonya Deville, and Adam Pearce off the bat. And then there's your career wrestler that you can use. And they all have different cards related to them. But Triple H oversees everything and tells you everything that you need to do and stuff like that. And as you go, you start at the base gymnasium. And then as you go throughout the weeks, you're able to unlock or have the ability to unlock different venues. So you start at the small gym and then you work your way up, and by like whatever, however long your season is, like 2/3 or halfway in, you can unlock a big stadium like WrestleMania, and you can hold your shows in that every week. Cost you $100,000 to do that every week, but hey, it's a big to do. So you gotta manage your money and play everything right like that. You can do you'll unlock different promotions, like some do for cameos for movies and stuff like that to gain the fans. And then you get better lighting and better pyro and all this and better marketing and all that stuff. So I like those things. It's not like, hey, I want to pick up this mode and go day one. I want the biggest arena with the best talent with all this. You can't do that. You actually have, it has to play out through the entire length of the season and going, okay, so this is what I need to work on. And then once you learn it and once you figure it out, I still haven't finished one because I did the 50-week one after I tried a 10-week one, and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me start from the beginning and go from a fresh standpoint. I like it. I like the GM mode. Could it be better? Yes. Could you have more titles in it? Yes. But then I get to thinking about it right off the bat when you get introduced a brand new mode to people, right?
Uh-huh.
That's so much to keep track of. Oh my god, who are all my champions? What? I have a tag champ, an intercontinental champ, a US champ, that would be a lot. Like, it's a hard enough job on keeping track of who my champions and who are they feuding with. And in this situation, I gotta make this person happy and I gotta do this for this person. Like, it's a lot. I'm glad it's simplified to start. As you go on in the series, as you improve it on in the series, I can see them adding the solo titles and more tag titles and what have you. But as a base, the starting base, it works. I like it.
It's something, like I said, that I think in my review that they can grow off of.
Yes.
And I like that about it, that it's like, simplicity is the best thing for it. Because now you understand it. It's like when you first go in it, you're like, I don't know what this is or what this is about. And you just kind of draft, not really knowing what you're doing. And then you learn as you play it. And by the time they go to do 2K23, they can expand on it. And enough of the player base will be used to it that it's not as scary when they say, hey, we updated my GM mode and now you can do this. So that's nice. It's slowly introducing people to new slash old things.
It is. Oh, one other thing about this entire game before we finish this review. In terms of environments, the sets and everything look really cool. The arenas look grand and everything. I like the idea that we can revisit the Thunderdome era with the video screens. That was a nice addition.
Memories.
Try to spot if you see anybody in there. Two, the backstage arena. They've improved on, so instead of it being one solid base where you can walk around and just walk around to different room to room, this has levels to it. There, you can go elevated off of different, there's elevation, so you can jump off of things like in back in the days with Here Comes the Pain and whatnot, where you can jump off of different levels and stuff like that and down onto your opponent. You have levels now, which adds a different element to the backstage area. Which I was not expecting, that the fact that it's in there, I was able to climb up a ladder and fight on a scaffolding area. I thought that was really cool. It was a nice, unexpected thing. I was like, oh, that's in the game? That's pretty cool. Like, you can say, oh, hey, they spent a lot of time redoing all this, and a lot of it feels and looks some of the same. But then you look around and have a feel of the game, and you play it for more than an hour and go, wait, that's different. That's a little different.
So all in all, a great... great update.
I'm really liking this game. It's a fun game to pick up. It's a fun game to sit down there and play. I like that the creation suite is for community creations is cross-gen, so people on PlayStation and Xbox can share their creations for the first time, because there are a lot of amazing creators out there, but they all create for one single platform. But the fact that it's cross-gen, you can get creations from a different platform helps, because there's a lot of them. Go find your favorite creator, follow them on social, give them some love, because they spend a lot of time creating some great creative wrestlers for people. People who are not in the game, people who may never have been in the game before, legends from the past, they create them, they spend a lot of time. It's good stuff. But all in all, this is a great effort. It's a great building block game for the WWE 2K franchise. They did a lot of things right. And a lot of it has to do with the fact the game does not crash often at all anymore. There are no bugs. The ropes are not springy and bending like in 10,000 different directions. And you're not running through a match and then boom, it crashes on you. It doesn't happen. They eliminated the bugs. And that's number one thing from this game takeaway. The game runs smoothly.
When they say they rebuilt it from the ground up, they mean they rebuilt it from the ground up. Like, they heard the criticism, they saw it, and they went, okay, we need to fix this. Because I think there was a lot of things on their end that they probably weren't happy with. So they went back and took their own notes too and said, all right, let's go. Let's fix it and make it how we want to make it. Because one of the biggest problems with 2K20 was it was rushed. Because basically they changed everything kind of midstream, and then the new folks had to come in and they had to finish the game. And they weren't able to finish it the way that it really should have been finished. It just kind of got slapped together with duct tape and rope, as I recall.
Yeah, because so, they had to get the new engine and they had to rebuild everything from the ground up, and they were just, production time was not in their favor for it. So, and they knew where the issues were. They tried as best as they can to make it a playable game as much as they can throughout patches throughout the entire, for a few months in the game. And it became playable in a better fashion than it was at launch. They made some improvements, but they knew, they took all the feedback. They ran a bunch of surveys. The new development team ran a bunch of community surveys. They took a lot of feedback. I think his name is Patrick Gilmore, who like took a lot of time. And I hope I got pointed out the right person. If I didn't, I'm sorry. But they took a lot of time and took a lot of feedback from the 2K community. And they took, there was all these graphs and charts of like, this is what this person wants and this is what everyone wants. And they took all this feedback. And they tried to make the best game possible for 2K22. Is it the best video game we're ever going to get out of the 2K franchise? No, but it's a good, fun game. And guess what? That's what you want out of a video game. You want to be able to pick it up. It works. It plays. It's fun. You can have fun with your friends. You can have fun by yourself. There's a lot to do. Again, there's the GM mode, there's showcase, there's their My Rise moment mode, and then there's just, you know, universe, and they're just playing exhibition matches, creating your own fantasy cards, creating your own wrestlers, creating your own universe. It's all there. Something for everybody. And I like that. So overall, a great effort. I'm really looking forward to continuing playing it. It's a lot of fun right now. Yes, we are officially done. Once again, thank you to WWE 2K for providing us with access to the game early. We appreciate all the folks over at 2K and WWE Games and Finn Brothers and everyone who helped us get access to the game early. We appreciate every single one of them. Make sure you go out and get WWE 2K22 available right this minute. If you pre-ordered on March 8th, you have access to it. But by the time you all hear this review, it's out. Came out March 11th worldwide. Everyone can have it. You have multiple different versions, from the NWO version to the Rey Mysterio version. Pick your version. Buy your season passes, because if you buy the season pass, you get all the DLC. So that's cool. And they have a bunch of DLC coming all the way through July 19th. So 5 different DLC packs. Go out, buy the game, enjoy the experience for yourself. What is WWE 2K22? Because as they say, it in fact does hit different.
So, like you said, everybody, go get it now. Ding! And with that, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Alright. Saturday night, midnight, is another edition of CBRadioCBLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. You can check out CBRadio Not So Live, where we reviewed AEW Revolution for 2+ hours. Available now at CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, or wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever you get it, just search for The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinzWard, LNSWRD. Go check out my YouTube channel, LinzWard.RockRadioShow.com, where I have my review of WWE 2K22 out and available for your viewing pleasure. And I am also currently uploading Tuesday's WWE 2K22 stream VOD, so check that out when that goes live. There's also lots of Genshin Impact content and Fortnite content for your viewing pleasure if you're not into the WWE 2K22 stuff. And you can also, you know, use my creator code, follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LinzWard, all the things. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211.
Oh, before we wrap up, go to youtube.com/RockRadioShow as well. There's a lot of WWE 2K content up there now and more coming in the days ahead. That was one plug I forgot.
So, Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.